So we've had an eventful week. An eventful week. Two pretty significant events happened this past week. One was the birthday of America, 248 years old, I believe. God bless America. Amen. America needs prayer. We need revival. We need an outpouring afresh of God's Spirit and power and presence. And we're going to do everything we can from right here at the Church Covington to get him out as far into this community and surrounding region and through our missions efforts around the world. But happy birthday, America. And then the other significant event was July the 1st. And I hear you wondering what happened July the 1st? What is significant about July the 1st? July the 1st probably came and went and you didn't even realize it. But July 1 marked the middle of this year, 2024. We are now in the second half, just a few days into the second half of the year. So whatever promises, whatever plans, whatever resolutions, whatever goals you set on January the 1st, you'll have to take inventory and try to see where you are and figure out what things have remained important to you and what things have stayed top of mind and what other things have perhaps fallen by the wayside, or maybe there are commitments that you need to revisit or renew in your life and decide to be a second half player. You know, your favorite team may get down in the first half, but they go into the locker room for those 15 minutes and you're hoping there is a regrouping. You're hoping there is an adjustment. You hope there is a quality coaching, and you say things like, "Oh, we can trust him. He's a second half player. He really comes alive in the second half." And I'm praying every single one of us are second half players, but the truth is sometimes we're living in that middle ground. I want to talk to you today about the middle, the in-between, that time when it's not this, but it's not that either. Sometimes it feels like you're living in limbo. We have some middle children in the room, and you know exactly what I'm talking about. You are not the oldest, and you're not the spoiledest either. I don't think that's quite a word. You're just living in the middle, the messy middle. I don't know about you, but I've come too far to go back. I've come too far to retreat. I've come too far to turn back from where I am right now. But I also look ahead sometimes and think, I don't know if I'm quite ready for all that is ahead. I know I don't want what's back there, and I know eventually I'm going to want everything that's up ahead. I just don't quite feel prepared. I'm living in the in-between. I'm living in the middle. The middle generally is not so great. Being in between jobs is unsettling. Middle age, of which I am now firmly ensconced and planted in, it's not for the faint of heart. You may have teenagers that are in the middle. They're too old to spank, but they're too young to adult. Oh, you can threaten all you want, but they're too old to spank. You can try to tell them all of that. You're just living in the messy messy middle. I want to preach today about the messy middle. Last Sunday, we talked about being tougher than tough and understanding that we had a strength inside of us that maybe we did not realize that we had. And I pray that your faith is growing, and I pray that you know today that you are better than you think, and that you are doing better than you thought you were doing. I pray that you realize that you are stronger than you think you are. And mindset and my faith set has so much to do with that. My attitude towards spiritual things has plays such a pivotal role in that mindset and that understanding. But I need to help some people today that are in the middle. People who are living in between. You feel like you're sort of in between spiritually. I mean, I feel myself growing. I feel myself maturing. I sense that I'm getting stronger, but I'm just not there yet. Got to make sure yet is a part of your current vocabulary. You're just not there yet. You want to get there. You want to experience it. You want to see it. You want to live in it. It's just yet ahead of you. I'm definitely not who I used to be. No way. I don't think the same. I don't react the same. I don't fly off of the same handles. I'm doing better than I used to do. Come on, progress. Progress needs to be celebrated. The ground that we've covered needs to be celebrated. You need to celebrate the wins in your life because God is absolutely working. He's working. May feel like he's working you over, but he's working. May feel like you're getting beat up, but work is happening. And I think it's interesting that the disciples found themselves in the middle as well, living in the in between. It's in Mark 4, if you have your Bibles and want to join me there in that chapter. It's a powerful setting of Scripture, but I want to lay a little foundation before I read these particular verses, because the disciples found themselves in an unexpected storm. That may sound familiar if you were here last Sunday or if you caught up online at some point this week, because we talked about Paul getting caught in an unexpected storm. I guess we need to settle this once and for all. Storms happen. Storms happen. What one man said, you're either going into a storm, you're in the middle of a storm, or you're coming out of a storm. Is that encouraging? Is that discouraging? I guess it depends whether you're going into a storm, whether you're in the middle of a storm, or if you are coming out of a storm. That will determine whether or not it is encouraging to you right now. The truth is, that's where many of us are this summer. You're facing something you didn't choose. You're dealing with something you didn't want and you did not expect. You're in the messy middle. You're living in between. Great victories behind you, and no doubt great days are ahead, but it feels like I'm living in the in-between. I'm living in limbo. I'm in this spiritual no man's land where I'm not out, but I'm not in. I'm not up, but I'm not down. I'm living in the middle. I'm living in the middle, just like these disciples. I like reminding you of that it was disciples, 12 men that Jesus called and ordained and powerfully saved. It was disciples that were living in the middle. It was Paul, the apostle, the man who wrote the majority of the New Testament. I mean, a man who knew the Lord, a man who walked with God and had deep and profound relationship with the Lord. He too was caught up in a storm. That means that you and I are in pretty good company. Whatever it is we're facing, whatever it is we're dealing with, whatever it is we're going through, we are in good company. I know the enemy has already convinced you that you are, a unicorn, an alien, you are some weirdo, you're the only one that goes through the things you're going through. No, 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 you're not the only one. You just feel like you're the only one. You just feel like you're the only one stuck in spiritual limbo, but you're not the only one. There are many, many, many people that are facing what you're facing, and I believe today is going to help all of us to realize that while the middle may be messy, it just could be a part of God's plan. So let me read a few verses. Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 35. That day when evening came, he, talking about Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drowned?" Don't you care? I'm so glad this question is included in the text. I'm so thankful that this emotion is included in the text. Them's my feelings some days. That's the question I ask some days. Why? Do you even care that I'm feeling what I'm feeling? Do you even care that I feel like I'm losing my mind and that I'm going crazy in this circumstance? Do you even care? He does. And I believe I can prove that to you today as this message goes on. Let's work through these verses to see how they can help us. Back to the beginning of Mark chapter 4, verse 35. That day when evening came, he, Jesus, said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Disciples, I have a destination in mind. Disciples, I have a goal in mind. I have a plan for you. I want us to get into this boat and go to the other side. That means they are going to have to cross the Sea of Galilee. This is a lake. You hear about it throughout the scripture, much of the ministry of Jesus and the life of these disciples happened around this lake and the villages that surrounded it, the towns that surrounded it. And it's interesting because this lake is 13 miles long and about 8 miles wide. It's rather large considering they had to row themselves across this lake. Maybe they had to sail themselves across this lake. Regardless, there were no motors. There were no outboard little John boat, 15 horse motors that would propel them. It was sheer manpower. It was depending on the wind and the sail and how long it was going to take them. But regardless of how many men you had in the boat, regardless of how many people you had rowing, to get 8 miles across this lake, this sea, this body of water, it is going to take some time. And then When we get to the other side, it's not just the Sea of Galilee that we have to deal with. It's what's on the other side. It's what's happening over there, because that's where the Gentiles live. There's a lot of racial animosity between the Jews, of which the disciples were, and the Gentiles. Jews tried to avoid the pagan people as much as possible. It was rumored, this is in history, it's rumored that the devil himself, or they believed the devil himself, lived on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. True story. This is why the disciples were not excited about Jesus' plan. This is why they weren't just giddy and jumping up and down. Oh, yeah, let's go to the other side. This is exciting. Vacation's on the other side. Relaxing is on the other side. No, we're going to work hard to get to the other side. And then when we arrive, we're going to start battling people and spirits and all kinds of things that are going to happen. But this Sea of Galilee, people were very superstitious about the Sea of Galilee. One commentator wrote, "The sea was known to swallow entire ships and gulp down people. It was a common superstition to view the water as the abyss where demons lurked in the deep. The sea was considered the manifestation of the realm of death." Just setting the scene today that this crossing the Sea of Galilee was no easy feat. This was not something enjoyable. I drove out past Madison yesterday toward Oconee. I didn't go to the lake and didn't go down into the town, just up in that Greensboro area, but I was crossing over the lake, and there were so many boats, and there were people out there on tubes and water skis, and I thought for just a moment, man, it'd be awesome to have a boat. I would love to be out on the water today. It just looked so fantastic, especially on a hot day, as hot as it's been in Georgia the last few days. If anybody's got a boat, come talk to me after church. I'm talking myself into something that sounds great. That's not what these disciples were dealing with. There was no row faster. Pull me on this tube. We're going to have some fun on this journey. No. This is hard work. This is taxing, and this is difficult. I mean, it's been an exhausting day. It's been an exhausting day of ministry. They've seen miracles. They've dealt with crowds. They've been walking and walking and walking. And then Jesus says, come on, let's go to the other side. I mean, it's his idea, and that's important. But the other side has all of its issues. And while they are in process, while they are on their way, while they are gaining ground and rowing themselves toward the other side, sure enough, while the disciples were on their way, a storm blows in. And Mark called it a furious storm. It's breaking. The waves are breaking over the boat. What does that tell us today? That tells us that even if you are a Christian, even if you are a believer, even if you are a disciple of the Lord, you are not exempt from the storms of life. Just because you go to church every week, you're not exempt from bad diagnosis. Just because you go to church, you're not exempt from financial struggle. Just because you worship and you believe God, you're not exempt from the trials of life. In fact, the book of Acts says that it's going to be through much tribulation that we are going to see the kingdom of God. Nobody gets excited about that. No one gets happy about that. We're just thankful that we're not alone. And we hope and pray that we're not getting more of our fair share of the tribulation. Lord, I've got a list of people. I'd like to see them get a little more tribulation. I'd like to share some of mine because I feel like I have more than I deserve. But these disciples, even though several of them were expert level fishermen, these are men that know how to navigate bodies of water. These are men who know how to function out on the sea. They know how to operate vessels and boats, and they know how to man and command equipment and the things that are necessary. Even though there are expert level fishermen and men who have owned their own vessels and have commanded bodies of water for many, many years, they are feeling desperate themselves. Again, you and I are in good company. We're in good company because whatever illusion of control these men had, it is gone. It's gone. Got to remember, a couple of Sundays ago, I read 1 Corinthians 10 and 12, therefore let him who thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he falls, because control is an illusion. Trust is better than control. Then look at verse 38. Jesus was in the stern. So Jesus is on this boat. The disciples are there. Expert fishermen, men who know how to operate a vessel. But Jesus is on this boat as well. I think we forget that sometimes he's not up on the bow of the boat hollering or desperate or crying or exasperated like the disciples are. He's not out there wringing his hands or pulling his hair. He's not out there biting his fingernails. He is asleep in the stern. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" I mean, first of all, how are you sleeping in this kind of storm? How are you sleeping? How are you dealing with this right now? Here's what they're really saying to him. "Teacher, you don't care." It's not even a question. We may couch our real feelings in a question, but the truth is we feel like you have abandoned us, you have forsaken us, you have forgotten all about us, and you care nothing whether we drowned or not. I mean, if you cared about us at all, then you would do something about this. That's what the disciples are saying. It's what we say too. "Lord, if you cared about us, then you wouldn't allow us to lose our job. If you cared about us, then I wouldn't be fighting this depression. If you cared about me, then there would be no financial hole to fall into. If you cared, Lord, then parents would not divorce. If you cared, then kids would not struggle. If you cared, then our marriage would not feel stuck. If you cared, you would do something. If you cared, you would help us." I'm going to give you two things today to remember. If you get caught in the storm, if you get stuck in the middle, first of all, you got to know you're in the storm with His presence. And secondly, you have to know you're in the storm for His purpose. You're in the storm with His presence, and you're in the storm for His purpose. I want to take each of those just a little bit deeper. Let's start with the first one. You're in the storm with His presence. Mark tells us that Jesus was in the stern. He was asleep on a cushion. I don't know about you, but it seems like we get so caught up in the what of the storm and we forget the who in the boat. We get so caught up in the circumstances we are facing. We get so caught up in the situation that we are dealing with, and we forget whose team we are on. We forget who is in our lifeboat. We forget who is on our side. He told one man that was looking out, seeing all of the chariots of the enemy and all of the swords of the enemy. I know they look like a lot, but they that be with us, They are more than what you see. Do you remember? Do you know that when you're in the storm, you're in the storm with His presence? Come to tell someone today that the who is more powerful than the what. Never let your what get bigger than your who. I don't mean to sound like Dr. Seuss today, but maybe we'll understand it quicker and better and faster. Let the word remind us today about where God is in our times of trouble. Deuteronomy 31:6, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, because of whatever it is you're facing, whatever circumstance, whatever enemy is surrounding you. Why? For the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Wait a minute. I'm in this neighborhood of trouble. I'm in this circumstance and situation of crisis in my life. You mean God is where I am right now? He is right where you are. Never will leave you or forsake you. I don't know about you, but that ought to build someone's faith today. That ought to lift someone's spirit today to know that whatever you're facing, God is where you are right now. Where you are. Psalm 23:4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Jesus' own words in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You see, God has promised His presence to us over and over and over again. His word promises His presence to us. You say, really? I don't know about that. That's why I'm not in the Word. That's why I don't know that. That's why it's not fresh in my spirit and top of my mind, because I'm not in His Word. Because I get into a crisis. I get into a circumstance. I get into some kind of situation. What do? I start abandoning the things that I know are right. I start walking away from the things that I know work in my life. Let me get in a crisis, and suddenly my worship just gets so dampened down. My scripture reading, I don't have time for that today. Why? Because I'm busy worrying about whatever I'm going through. Whatever I'm going through can take a break while I get reminded that He is with me and He is for me and He is on my side, and I am His child, and He's not going to let me fail. He's not going to let me fall. I may stumble. I may get knocked down, but I will not lose, because I am victorious in Him. Is there anybody in the messy middle that's being reminded today that God is on your side? Somebody say hallelujah. Don't get caught up in the what of the storm that you forget the who in the boat. You may be standing at the graveside of a loved one, but you're not alone. He is with you. Someone may break your heart, but He is with you. You may lose your job, but He is with you. You may get a phone call that you never wanted to get, but guess what? He is with you. You may come home to an empty apartment, but He is with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. Jesus never said we wouldn't experience storms. He just promised that we would never be alone in the storm. I don't know who I'm preaching to today, that the enemy has convinced you that there is no one who cares, and there's no one who understands, and there's no one with you. I'm telling you, your family, your friends, your spouse, all kind of people may be absent in your life, but God is not absent. He is with you. He has not left you. He has not forsaken you. He's right in the messy middle with you. Somebody ought to give the Lord praise today, because we are not alone. Not alone. He's with us. He's with us. He's working. He's moving. He's helping. And that brings me to number two today. You're in the storm for His purpose. Not only am I in the storm with His presence, I'm in the storm for His purpose. You got to remember, Jesus is the one who said, let's go to the other side. This was His idea. This was His plan. This is what He wanted to do. They weren't in the storm because they were out of His will. They weren't in the storm because of disobedience. They were in the storm because they obeyed. Somebody needs to hear that today. Because sometimes being obedient to God will lead us into struggles and into trials and into circumstances and into things in our life. But you got to keep it in mind. Hey, this was His plan. When I get in the messy middle and I don't like what's happening around me, Lord, do you remember calling me to this? Do you remember speaking to me about this? Do you remember instructing me and directing me and ordering my steps right into this situation that I'm in? You're in the storm for His purpose. Question becomes, why did Jesus allow them to go through the storm? The question I have today is why? Why does He allow you and I to go through the storm? The answer is this simple. There was something they needed to learn in the storm. It was something they could not learn in the same way on the safe shore. I dare say that for you and me, let me excuse you. For me, I am so hard-headed that the Lord was trying to teach me in the comfort of whatever, safe, dry ground, but I wasn't getting it. I wasn't hearing Him. I wasn't listening. I thought I knew more than Him. So I kept walking cocky and arrogant and just, I got this. I don't need to worry about that. And the Lord said, no, you're going to learn this one way or another. I am determined to teach you this. So if you won't get it in the comfort, I'm going to have to teach you in discomfort. Thank you, I will. If I can't teach you this when things are just good and just, you know, just free-flowing and everything wonderful, then I may have to lead you. See, you've been blaming the devil for the storm, and you've been blaming the enemy and rebuking all of the wrong things. And the Lord said, no, I put you in this boat. I called you to the other side. I knew this wind was about to blow. I knew this storm was about to rain down. I knew it was going to happen. What I promised is that I would never leave you while you're in the middle of the storm. And I'm doing this. I've got you in this storm for My purpose. That's why you're in the storm. So I have to trust Him. I have to trust Him that if He brought me to it, He will bring me through it. I have to trust him. Look at verse 39. I love this. The Bible said that he got up. This is his response. His response to verse 38, do you even care? Hey, we're dying. We're losing our lives. We're drowning. We're soaking wet. We're discouraged. We're depressed. We got anxiety. Do you even care that we drowned? He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. Quiet, be still. Hey, I don't know what you're facing today. I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what's overwhelming you today. I don't know what's depressing you today. I don't know what's getting the best of your peace or your happiness or your joy, but I'm just going to try this little experiment. I just want to say three words to your situation. Quiet, be still. I don't know what's happening in your life. I don't know what's swirling in your life. I don't know how hard the rain is falling in your life. But I say, quiet, be still. Amen. He rebuked the wind and the rain. I love it. He rebuked it. That means he spoke as one who has the authority to speak. He's teaching them. He's showing them. He has all authority, even over the wind and the waves. He has the authority. But I want you to notice something this morning. Jesus did not request it politely. Now, wind, I know you're boisterous, and waves, I know you're crashing high, but I would like to ask you nicely. Please, wind, please, Mr. Wave, please calm down in my life. No, he took authority. He took authority and rebuked the wind, and he rebuked the waves. He said, you got to go lay down somewhere. You ought to talk to your circumstance like you talk to your kids. Too much? Let's do this. Talk to your circumstance like you talk to your pet. Go lay down somewhere. Get out of my face. Get out of that refrigerator. But then when it comes to the hell and the crisis in our lives, we're Mr. Wind, you're scaring me. Oh, get some of that gumption you had. Get some of that power. Get some of that authority. Get some of that strength. Get some of that volume. I don't like to pray loud, okay? But you get enough wind blowing in your life, you're going to have to pray louder than the howling of the wind. You're going to have to worship louder than the crashing of the waves. You're going to have to lift up your voice. You can't whisper at waves. You got to rebuke waves. You can't calmly speak to storms that are swirling in your life. You got to get louder than the storms, louder than the wind, louder than the waves. That's the same authority that he wants you and I to walk in. He's teaching them, disciples, this is something you should have been able to handle yourselves. I was asleep. I was in the middle of a good nap. It wasn't bothering me. But I'm coming out here to teach you that you've got this kind of power in you. You've got this same authority in you. I'm not suggesting that you don't pray about everything, because I pray about everything. But you know, there are some things you don't even have to pray about. God has already given you the authority. There's some things you don't have to go. Now, Lord, I want to get your permission, Lord, to pray about healing. No, he said healing is the children's bread. Healing is at the counter level. Your kids can reach that. You put that other stuff up way up high so they can't get to it without your express permission or without you helping them. But these healing is the children's bread. It's at that level that the kids can just reach it. Hey, kids, here's this bowl of fruit. I know you're playing outside, but anytime you just come in and grab one of these snacks, you can have it anytime you want. And they just come in all day, and you just keep refilling that bowl over and over and over because kids are never satisfied. He said, that's what healing is. Healing is the children's bread. You can come and get that anytime you want. Lord, I'm going to pray about whether or not you want to heal. No. Rebuke sickness. Rebuke disease. Rebuke it and stand on my word. That's the authority that you and I have. Storms, storms come. They happen. Again, you may be going into a storm. You may be in the middle of a storm. Or you may be coming out of a storm. What I can assure you today, in, middle, or out, you are not alone. Because God is in your storm with you. You're in the storm with his presence, and you're in the storm for his purpose. I was raised in hurricanes, big storms. In fact, my son is in Texas, and there's another hurricane. I don't know exactly what Beryl is. I think it's Beryl is the name of the storm. I don't know exactly what the status is, tropical storm. It was gaining more strength, but it's going to be landing about an hour and a half south of where Jude is somewhere today. And I'm not worried. I've been through so many of these things. It's my favorite thing about living in Georgia so far. No hurricanes. I love it. I love it. Storms are no fun. Went through this so many times in my childhood and all the way up into teenage years and early marriage, hurricanes and tropical storms and just craziness. And same thing always happens. The power is going to go out. The lights are going out. You're going to be sitting in the dark. The only light you're going to have is the brightness of your phone screen. And it's about to go dead because you don't have a way to charge it. Let me know when I start describing your life. The power's gone out. All you see is darkness. And you can't find anywhere to recharge your spirit. You're living in the messy middle. I'm not where or who I used to be, but there's still some pain there. There's some leftover anxiety. I'm reaching ahead. I'm not looking back. I'm determined to keep moving forward, but right now, I got this wind that's blowing in my life. I got this financial crisis. Never had money problem, and now all of a sudden, look, been just healthy all my life, and where in the world did this come from? It's the messy middle. I'm challenging you today to rebuke what you can rebuke. Take authority over the things that God has given you the authority over. And if that storm is too much, he's in the boat. Wake him up. Hey, Lord, I'm not coming at you like them disciples came at you. I learned from them. I'm going to wake you up real gently. Jesus was probably aggravated because they woke him up so rough. People don't like to be woke up like that. Lord, I'm so glad you're on this boat with me. Come on. Let's conquer this thing.